Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Southern Onion Podcast. I'm Erica.
And I'm Erin with the good coffee.
You must have gone to Dunkin'.
I did. I went to my Dunkin' today, my DD.
Oh, Lord, yeah. And Dunkin' Donuts, we're still looking for a sponsor.
Oh, yeah, we'll take you.
Call us. Call me maybe. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That song just got in your head, to those who know it. Oh.
Yeah.
So, like, do you drink coffee every day, Erin?
No. Or? I go, like, twice a week to Dunkin', so, like, Monday or Friday or something. But, no, I don't drink coffee every day.
Oh, see, I have to have my one. I have one cup at least every day. Sometimes two if I get wild. Or I've been told I have my coffee drink every day because I put sugar and cream in it. But, I mean, it's still coffee, you know. It's like if I go out to a nice place or go to a concert or something, I'm still me, but I, like, dress up and fix my hair, right? But it's still me.
Right. It's Erica 2.0.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's, you know, so that's how I feel about putting a little extras in coffee and stuff, so.
Yeah, gotta have it.
Yeah. So, And anyway, was enough about coffee because now I'm wanting some and it's too late in the day to drink some. So moving along, I hope everybody has had a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you haven't already, just hit that subscribe button so you'll be notified every time we have a new episode come out. That way you don't have to look for us. We'll come right to you. How amazing is that? And if you haven't already, rate us. Leave us a comment. We love to hear from everybody. And that helps us out tremendously. And we really appreciate it. So I hope everybody has had a good week. It is Memorial Day weekend. So hopefully everybody's listening to us maybe later in the day or even a day later because you've been lucky enough to have a day off here in the United States. I am off on a Monday. What?
I know.
But the thing is, you get a day off and you pay for it the rest of the week because now you're cramming 5 days of work into four.
Right, yeah, that's right.
But that's me and my, you know, self. There's something to complain about, I'll find it. It's one of my many qualities.
Yes.
So, Erin, how has your week been?
It's been a good week. I went to the mall.
Hey!
I know. See, I haven't been to the mall in over a year, so.
Ooh, were you scared? Were you nervous? I get nervous.
A little bit, but a lot of people have masks on.
That's good.
And we got there, like, right when they opened, so that helps, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I went into, I love Sephora. It's a makeup place.
Sponsor
and,
us.
And I love that place. And I was, like, couldn't believe how much makeup, like, different things.
Oh.
Like, you know, the eyebrow pencil and the cookie highlighter. I didn't know what a cookie highlighter was. I was, like, what's that?
Yeah. They don't either.
Well, here's the thing. It goes on your cheekbones.
Oh.
To highlight your cheekbones.
But I want cookies in my mouth. I don't want cookies on my cheekbones.
So, but they're, I know, but they were so sweet. Like, they helped me do everything, like, match makeup and stuff. But it was overwhelming, but it was kind of fun, so.
Well, you were, that's one of, you know, we're fraternal twins, obviously. But, you know, you wear makeup and I don't, so.
Right. Well, we can't be naturally beautiful like you, Erica.
That's what it is. I was going to say it, but I was like, no, Erica, be humble. Be humble. Yeah. So.
Sure.
No, honestly, it's because I have freckles, so I'm like, I kind of have splotty makeup all over me anyway, so it's fine.
It helps. Freckles help.
Yes, they do, especially now with the sun out, and they'll get darker for a while, so.
Yeah.
It's good.
There you go. Instant makeup.
That's right. Yep. Well,
that's
good.
Awesome.
You do anything else exciting?
Not really. I mean, that kind of
Erin.
I know it was the buildup.
Yeah.
I'm going to the mall Saturday. Yep. That was my big accomplishment. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I know. We're all vaccinated up. Nowhere to go, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's all right.
Yep.
So how has your week been?
My week has been good. With my work, they are actually sending, who I work for is a corporation, and they have several offices all throughout Tennessee. And so they have, Friday and then the next couple of weeks, I'll actually be going to different offices to work, which is fun and exciting, but also a little bit nerve-wracking because you're walking into a new place and you don't know people and, you know, just kind of how their flow is. But whatever, it's fine. I thrive on those situations. But I worked in Pigeon Forge, or Piggy on 4J, as we know it's also called, on Friday. And it was so much fun. I had not been up there in a while. Well, I guess since we went to Alcatraz. Hey, Alcatraz. The thing that gets me, like, I have been lucky enough. I have traveled all over the United States. I have gone to Italy, you know, and everywhere I go, oh, I love your accent. But what I do not understand is when I'm in Pigeon Forge, when I'm in my, what I feel like is my area, my region, mm-hmm. and people go, oh, I love your accent.
Oh, wow.
What? I live here. What are you talking about? I'm supposed to be safe here and not get criticized for my southern drawl, you know? No. But And I mean, they were very nice, but she's like, oh, I just love your accent. And I'm like, what? I'm from here. This isn't an accent. It's how
you
talk.
Have the accent.
Yeah, you have the accent. I don't. Get out of here. But that was fun. I like getting to meet new people and work in different environments. So, you know, and Pigeon Forge, oh my gosh, it's grown up so much. And there were so many people because, of course, you know, hey, thanks for sending me on a holiday weekend up there. Jeez.
Right.
But anyway.
People are going to Dollywood. Yeah. They're going to the island. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes, you know, 50 minutes to drive there at, you know, 7 in the morning and takes an hour and a half to drive back home.
Sure.
You know, but it's fun. So other exciting locations I get to work at for the next couple of weeks. So, woo.
Exciting. Yay.
Yeah. Woo. So I hope everybody else has had an amazing week and are going to have an amazing week. And hopefully, no matter where you are listening to us, that you're taking care of yourself and do something nice for yourself. Treat yourself. You deserve it. Honestly. Yeah. Don't wait for somebody to do it for you. Do it for yourself.
Right.
Words of wisdom from the twins right there.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, Erin. So, I'm getting a lot of positive feedback on the getting to know the twins segment that we do.
Okay.
So, I'm going to quiz you a little bit. You're going to be fine. This is an easy question.
Okay.
Explain in your own thoughts and emotions, what it was like to go to our first concert. And who was it for people listening?
Okay. Well, I was super excited.
You're thinking about it. You're,
This is an essay form. I was excited because it was Color Me Bad and Paula Abdul.
Oh, yeah. Woo!
And I had a crush at the time on Sam Waters, who was in Color Me Bad.
Yes. And he kind of looked like who? Kenny G.
Kenny G.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
which I showed my husband mm-hmm. what Sam Waters looked like, mm-hmm. and he said, I definitely would have had a chance.
Okay. So, wow. You would actually. So
but
well
it was
done.
It was so much fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the first night that the concert was supposed to happen, it got canceled.
Yes. Yep, it did.
Because Paula Abdul had strep throat, or was it she injured herself?
She injured herself in the concert prior to the Knoxville concert, yes.
Yeah, but she did come back the next night, and we were able to see her. And it was a lot of fun. It really was.
Yeah. Yeah, we were like 11 or 12, something like that. We were fifth, sixth grade.
Middle school.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, it was fun. I think that's when I first realized that I'm not particularly fond of big crowds.
Yeah.
I was just like, there's so many people in here. Oh, my God.
Everybody has to leave. What's going to happen?
I'm like, okay, just breathe. Focus on the stage. Just breathe. Because we were not front row. I'll say that.
No, we were in the nosebleeder. Yeah. That's okay.
Oh, yeah. I think the only front row concert I've ever been to is the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, there you go.
I love them. I love going to those. They're great.
Oh, yeah.
They might not be artists I've heard of, but I love it, you know. But you know who's not been at the Grand Ole Opry because she's not a country singer is Jan Arden, my friend. So, you know, hey, Jan. Anybody knows her, holler. Yeah.
Well, okay, out of all the concerts you've been to, which one's your favorite?
Well,
and you can only pick one, and you can only pick one.
In person or virtually? Rope them all together, and my favorite concert. Oh gosh, no.
Yeah, see, yeah,
no. It's a 3-way tie.
No, no.
It has to be a 3-way tie. Yes, it is Cher, who was amazing. I saw her in Indianapolis, and then Adele, who was phenomenal. Who I actually got to hear for 2 nights in Verona, Italy, and actually see her in Nashville. I know. Well, I'm bragging there, honestly. Yep. Be jealous.
Yeah.
And then third, which is probably the top, because I totally cried when she came out on stage.
I believe this.
Celine Dion.
Yeah.
I love, oh my gosh, I love Celine Dion. I think we were 15, 14 when I got the cassette single, The Power of Love, and I played it in Mom's teal green Thunderbird.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wept. It was beautiful. It was, and I knew right then, I love her. And it was not until I was 41 years old. So from 14 to 41 years old, I'm dying to see this woman in concert. I didn't. She comes out on stage, and this is all right before. Who knew? Who knew the pandemic was getting ready to hit like it did in 2020? And she comes out on stage, and I just bawled. It was like... Aww. So mean, you know, and again, I'm not in the front row.
That's all right.
I was just happy to be in the same room with her. So
exactly. Yes. Yep.
But I did, you know, my favorite virtual concert is Jan Arden easily. Mm-hmm. I've only been to like 3 virtual concerts.
But oh, there you go.
Jan Arden, totally. I can't wait to see her in person. So my passport's ready. I can't wait to go and see her in person in Canada. So shout out to Canada. Please don't put me on the do not enter list. Appreciate it. So, all right. Well, very good. I was going to ask you another question, but we're going to go ahead and hop on into this onion for this week. Again, a final thank you to our listener, Nash, for bringing this reference. Is that the right word, reference? The recommendation. Thank you. Oh, twins. Yep. Ha ha.
That's okay.
For this, so Teresa Halbach.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a lot about her, unfortunately. Right. She was 25 when she was murdered. So she was born March 22nd, 1980, died October 31st, 2005. So on Halloween.
Horrible.
That is like spooky.
Yeah, it is.
No pun intended. But so she's 25. So, I mean, so young. Oh, my gosh. I mean, at 25, you're still a baby. Sorry.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
Now
well,
that,
we were about 25 at that time, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, now that we're farther on in life, I mean, you realize how much of a kid you still are in your 20s. I mean, you are. We're old enough. We can say it.
Right.
But don't turn us off. Thank you. So she was a photographer for Auto Trader magazine, and that is the job that actually led her to Stephen Avery and to take photographs. And we're going to mention Stephen some. We're going to talk about Teresa first. Aaron's got the updates on the case. So because there's just really not a lot about her. Being the victim, which is sad, but she grew up on a 225-acre farm with 60 dairy cows. So they were busy. She had 4 other siblings. So I'm sure there was a lot of work that went into being on a farm of that size with that many cows. Her life goal that she had was to become a photojournalist for National Geographic.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, if you know, even if you don't read the articles in National Geographic, the photography is beautiful. Yeah. Like, I'm one of those people, I'll look at a photograph, especially with people in it, and I'll give everybody a name and a story. I mean, that's my mind and how it works. But, you know, you look at photography with National Geographic, that's the best of the best. So, I mean, for her to go for that goal is amazing. And tells you about her drive. She's working for Auto Trader magazine, so she's willing to put in the work. She's willing to start somewhere to get to National Geographic. So right there, the girl's got determination. She's got motivation. I mean, some people want to, oh, yeah, I want to shoot for National Geographic. Okay, I'm going to send in these 3 cell phone, you know, photos that I did and hope it's enough, you know. But no, she's like, no, let me put in the work. Let me do the legwork. So much respect for her when I saw that and read that. Friends did describe her as energetic and spontaneous. And one of her friends, Kelly Pitzen, and I apologize if I said the last name wrong, P-I-T-Z-E-N, she said it took a lot to scare her. She was a very outgoing, brave person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're younger and you want people to like you, you want to seem outgoing, you don't want to offend anybody or hurt their feelings. So, you know, you might be outgoing and friendly to people who you really need to be more leery of.
Right.
If you catch what I'm saying. So I think because evidently with this auto trader, she traveled around and by herself often, which for a female and she was attractive, you know, it, not everybody's the nicest person trying to sell their car. I don't know how else to say that. So on November 5th Oh, I should say this. You know, the Making a Murderer documentary is out on Netflix. So that's been done a million times, so we're not going to do that. But her family decided not to be in that Making a Murderer documentary on Netflix. So I just want to say that because they weren't purposely left out. They were asked to be in it, and they declined to be in it. But so how she was found, or not how she was found, excuse me, her car, you know, her boyfriend was like, hey, she went out to do these pictures and she's not back. Something's wrong. So when the search party came out, and it was this mother and daughter, Pam and Nicole Sturm, came across her car on Stephen Avery's property. And that's what alerted police to come on his property and search. And then they found human remains in a used fire pit. And those remains, unfortunately, turned out to be Teresa's. And so that's how the eyes got put on Stephen Avery. And, you know, but there's all these questions, and we'll get into that here in just a minute. I know Aaron's like, ah, I've got information. You know, how did her car end up on his property with all these other kind of, it was a junkyard, wasn't it?
Like, it was a salvage yard, yes.
A salvage yard, excuse me, thank you. So it was a salvage yard, and her car was like on there, and a rusted hood was like up against it, and there were branches in front of it. So it was obviously staged there.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Is all I'm going to say about that. And it's odd because if you watch the documentary too, the mom and daughter, it was a very odd way that they found that car as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
right.
That's where, you know, decide for yourselves. We're not going to be talking all about Stephen Avery the whole time, but, you know, was he framed? I mean, it, you know, it looks possible. I'll say that. So, right. So that's what I could find on Teresa. Now, Erin, I know you found her obituary.
I did.
Online.
Yes. And so she graduated from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay in 2002 in photography. Mm-hmm. She was also the owner of Photography by Teresa. So she was going out and doing photography work on her own.
Putting in that work. Yep.
Yep. She also coached 7th grade volleyball.
Aww. Awesome.
Yes. Yep. At St. John's Church, Sacred Heart Church, I guess, you know, so did that. She loved to travel. She was known to be the life of the party, and she loved karaoke and spending time with her family and friends. Mm-hmm. So just a sweet, kind, wonderful person.
Just a 25-year-old.
Yeah. Yep. Just 25 and just making it in life.
Yeah. Just having a good time.
Hard worker, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, as we know, like you said, on October 31st, she went out to Avery's salvage yard to take some pictures for Stephen. And some of her coworkers had come forward and said, and Teresa was a little nervous about going out there. She found Stephen to be a little odd, but she was like, no, I'm going to do it anyway. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, as a woman, if you were to say, look, I don't feel comfortable doing this, that could put you in a position of, okay, well, you don't want to do your job, so Right. We just find somebody else. And
right. Or
you almost feel pushed into doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. It will. And then again, going back to the age, you're still in that age where you want people to like you. But obviously, sure, she had a gut instinct, and people go with your intuition. Oh my gosh. You don't have to understand it, but go with it. And if anything, if like you said, you know, she doesn't want to let people down, she wants to do her job, she should have taken somebody with her that day. If ever you are nervous about something, buddy up. Take somebody with you. Yeah. I mean, you'd rather be wrong and be like, whoops, you know, I overestimated that, than to be right and something bad happen.
Right. So there is question about, you know, according to Stephen, she took the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And she came into his trailer, and there was like a slip that he gave her, she gave him, saying, I've been here. And that was the last time he saw her.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, like you said, there was a search on the property. They found her vehicle, and it's brought on a whole storm of what happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So if you've seen Making a Murderer season 1 and 2, because mm-hmm. I've seen both,
okay,
you kind of know what's going on with the case. But this past April, there mm-hmm. has been a new development. Mm-hmm. So a delivery man, a delivery driver by the name of Thomas Sawinski, I hope that's how you say it, saw Bobby Dassey and a older, unidentifiable man pushing Teresa's RAV4 onto the Avery salvage lot in the early morning hours of November 5th. Now, he delivers newspapers.
Okay. All right.
So he's a newspaper man. Mm-hmm. So Bobby Dassey is the older brother of Brendan Dassey, who is the one that said that him and Stephen killed Teresa.
Right. Yes.
But has later recanted and has tried to get out of prison, which is not going to happen. If you've seen season 2, you'll know that's not going to happen.
Right.
So the unidentifiable male. So that's the question, is who is this person?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, Thomas said after he delivered the papers, he came back around. Bobby stepped in front of his car to block him. He ended up having to run through a ditch to get away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, why didn't you come forward? He said, well, I was scared to. But he also said that he went to police and they said, we already know who did it.
See,
so the police mm-hmm. never followed up. They never did anything. And so that's why we've not heard from Thomas until now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Kathleen Zellner, who is Avery's attorney.
Right. The new attorney who's pushing to be like, hey, pretty sure they zoned in on Stephen Avery from the get-go. Because, was it in season 1, it's even recorded by one of the officers saying, oh, well, he did this. We will get him for this, because Stephen was getting ready to be paid out millions of dollars mm-hmm. from the county or from the city mm-hmm. for already being falsely accused of something else.
Correct.
So he had a big bias against him. And why, you know, so there's just a lot of questions. Again, I don't want to get too far into it.
But sure.
There's reasons to be like, if you're getting ready to make, I forgot the amount, like 10
million. 36 million.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I think I could control I would think you could control yourself long enough to get that payout. And phew, you'd be set for life. So there's just a lot of, you know, and it's just, I feel like with Teresa, it was just wrong place, wrong time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, and this theory has been brought up before, and even mm-hmm. in season 2, that Scott Taddock.
Yes.
He is Barb Taddock's husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she is, that would be Brendan and Bobby's stepdaddy.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he lived on the property with them on the Avery salvage lot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people on a piece of property.
There is.
Yeah.
Now, Scott and Bobby, okay, so Bobby is now allegedly being seen by the delivery guy to be pushing that RAV4 with an older gentleman who mm-hmm. people are saying it probably is Scott.
Mm-hmm, right.
What is interesting is they're each other's alibi.
Great.
Bobby and Scott are claiming that they passed each other that day, October 31st, on the road,
yes,
and waved at each other. Mm-hmm. And they both were going hunting. Now, they were going hunting in different areas, mm-hmm. but they were going hunting. And Scott claims that he got home at 5 o'clock. He went to his deer stand at 3:30.
Okay.
And then he went home about 5 o'clock to pick up Barb and take her to the hospital because Scott's mother was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And they stayed there till like 7 o'clock. Bobby claims he got home at 5 o'clock and the RAV4 was gone. He watched some TV and then he went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, all right?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Preach.
They both were hunting that day.
Yes.
Now, what do hunters bring with them? Knives, guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so ammunition, sure.
Right. So the theory is that either Bobby, Scott, or both saw Teresa out there.
Mm-hmm.
And she left the property, and maybe they followed behind her. They got her to pull over. They killed her and left her in the woods, and then came back when Stephen was doing the pit fire that night,
mm-hmm.
and took her remains and put them in there.
Right, to try to cover up their tracks. Right. Yeah.
And here's the thing. We all have seen cars on the side of the road, right?
Sure.
You don't think anything of it. You think, oh, the person's broken down, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think maybe this person's been kidnapped.
Right.
That this car was not just abandoned willingly.
Right.
So the thought is, did they push that RAV4 from where they got her and pushed it back onto the property in the early morning hours before anybody would notice anything?
Right. Which is what I'm going to say happened, because if you've had your newspaper delivered, you know those bless their hearts, they are out there at like 4:30 in the morning, and they're usually the only people on the road, you know, during that time. So, you know, that would be, if I was going to do it, that'd be when I do it, you know, be like, okay, between 3 and 5, that's usually when the least amount of cars are on the road, so let's do it, you know.
Yeah, so that is the theory right now. Kathleen Zellner has put out different theories throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you this. Kathleen is a wonderful attorney. And she's gotten a lot of people that have been wrongly convicted. She's gotten them off.
Mm-hmm.
She got a guy in Illinois off. Mm-hmm. He'd been sitting in prison for like 14, 15 years.
Yeah.
Well, young guy that was falsely accused of killing somebody. Mm-hmm. There was proof that he did, and she was able to get him out. So.
Wow.
If Zellner can't get you out.
Right, yeah, you did,
you know,
it. Yeah.
I mean, that's how I look at it. So, yeah, so that is the update as of April of this year, is that there is a witness, and that witness is pointing the finger at Bobby.
Yeah, yeah.
The older brother of Brendan.
Oh, Lord. And you know he's probably sitting there with his beer going, oh, hell.
Yeah.
Look, they made a documentary. He did it. Leave me alone.
I mean, yeah, it's shocking. I mean, here, this case has so many twists and turns.
Oh,
because
I
think it was a year or two ago, somebody in prison actually confessed to killing Teresa.
Yeah, there have been multiple confessions, and heard so-and-so say it, that they had it, they were involved. And what's so sad, I mean, this happened in 2005. This is 16 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Mm. And we still are like, wait, did he really do it or not?
Right.
You know, because when you watch, you absolutely feel Brendan. Now, granted, I know we're not seeing all the tapes, but Brendan does look like he is very coerced into just, okay, you want me to say he did it? Okay, he did it. You know, well, yes, because he doesn't understand at that age, and he already had a mental health condition that diminished his understanding of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And Lord. Anyway.
It will get you fired up.
Yeah, and that's why that would be like a 10-parter, because we'd have to take episode by episode, and, you know.
And I'd have to get the squirt bottle out.
Yeah.
To cool us down.
Holy water.
Yes. So,
My therapist would not be happy with my stress level, so no.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, that's basically what's going on with the case right now. Still, you know.
Yeah, I'm just gone too soon. You know, not that murder makes sense, but a really a nonsense murder of just somebody, you know, were they practicing shooting and they shot her? I mean, they missed the target, because, you know, there was that one case where a man sat down to watch the outdoor orchestra play, and all of a sudden, He falls over dead with a gunshot wound in his side. Well, come to find out, half a mile away, somebody was having a party and they were just shooting at cans. And and somebody shot, missed the can, and it traveled because there was nothing to stop it. And it unfortunately hit that man and immediate death.
Yeah.
I mean, so was it that, you know, and they're trying to cover it up, and, you know, the town was already mad at Stephen because we're having to pay him millions of dollars. We might go broke. Well, let's just pin it on him. I mean, it was a little opportunistic that she was found there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, anyhow, not that humans make sense anyway, but I don't even understand myself most times.
But, so we'll keep following it. You never know.
Definitely, because he's got, you know, like you said, he's got a lawyer now that if they're going to, you know, have more stuff come to light to show his innocence or to at least raise more reasonable doubt, you know, and to wait, it might not be him. This is the lawyer that would do it. So So just a sad case, and, you know, just, I mean, 25, she was just starting her life.
And for
what? She was just trying to be nice and take pictures for people so they could sell their daggum cars, you know. Now you just take a picture with your cell phone and post it, and
Now you can,
Exactly. Oh, and so thank you again to Nash. For that onion. You know, a fun thing to do this week, if you haven't already, this might be new to just me. And I get it. I'm slow on things. Go on Facebook Marketplace, and in the search, pick mirrors. And some of the pictures that people have done of trying to sell their mirrors but not be in the picture of the mirror is hilarious. So if you need something to do and you're bored one night, you know, just look that up. I have found it to be quite entertaining myself. So.
Definitely.
All right. So next week we have the case, the onion of Angie Houseman. This is from a 1993 case in St. Louis. This was a fourth grader, an 11-year-old girl who gets off the bus and is not seen again until they discover her body. The case is closed. Let me just go ahead because people like me, I'm like, I need to know before I know details.
Sure.
The case is closed. They did find who did it through DNA.
And it was recently. They just recently closed this case, guys.
And that's been, But, I mean, you know, the science is making leaps and bounds, especially with DNA evidence. So, if you're thinking about doing something stupid, just don't, because you are going to get caught no matter how much time passes by. So, excellent. All right. Well, I hope everybody has a great weekend, or had a great weekend, excuse me, because we don't put these out till Monday. And hope you enjoyed some time. Treat yourself. Please do. Be nice to yourself. Yeah. We've all been through quite the year and still going through it. So, thank you again for all your support. We love you. Reach out to us. Email us, southernonion2@gmail.com. Follow us on Southern Onion Podcast on Instagram. And if you got a show idea, just email us, DM us. Our DMs are open. Right? I sound so cool when I say that. I feel like I sound cool when I say I probably sound, you know. That's a nice accent I have, ain't it?
That's right.
All right. So on that note, everybody take care, stay safe, keep peeling back those layers of true crime, and we will talk to you next week. Bye, Erin.
Bye, Erica.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.